Let's bring in James Myrtle from The Athletic. James, we've never gotten to speak in, like, I guess this is not in person, this is on the radio, but you weighed in on my boyfriend weighing a TV drama. I think he needed to be thrown under the bus. It had to happen, or the TV wouldn't have gone up.
It was just very subtle. He was like in the brackets, but it didn't even need to be there. You know, you didn't really need to say who was responsible for the improperly hung TV. So I had to make my little comment there about being thrown under the bus. So that was funny. I saw you got it hung up though, so that's great.
That's what happened. He had to be publicly called out in order for the job to get done, which I think is a page I took out of my mom's book.
Did he use silly putty or something to hang that TV up? It looked kind of suspect.
He really did get slandered for that, but the putty on the wall was as a result of him trying to hang it so many times and then trying to fix the holes. It was just
the whole thing.
Don't try to do anything in your mid to early 20s around the house. Just call someone else to do it.
Call the Jiffy app. It's promo code Hayes.
Totally.
James, you are in California on the California Western road trip. Who decides who gets to go on these marquee road trips? Because this California Western road swing is arguably the best one in the NHL. And of course, you got yourself on it. How does that process shake out?
Well, I'm fortunate in that the head office for The Athletic, for the company, is here in California. So I come on this trip every single year. I stop in at the office and I see the higher up. So Jonas Siegel, who works with me as well, is also on this trip. So he's going to be doing he'll be doing a lot of the hard work, and I'll be doing things like meetings and things like that. But the California trip is, I'm looking out my window right now. I can see the ocean. I can see the beach. I can see palm trees. And when I left Toronto last night, it was getting real cold, and I kept getting warnings that there was going to be snow. So it's definitely, if you're a Leafs fan, should be on your bucket list to jump on this trip, because they're going to do, you know, LA, and then they hop down to San Jose, and then they're back in Anaheim, and all of those spots are great to see and great to watch a game.
Yeah, and to scrape off some ice on my car this morning before I came into work. So that goes to tell you the type of weather we're dealing with up here in Toronto.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was 28 degrees here yesterday, so that's what we're dealing with.
I think I hate you. I think I hate you, James. That's where we got to that point.
James, before we get to the road trip, we're having a hypothetical Tuesday here on Leafs Lunch. We have a Twitter question out right now on @LeafsLunch1050 if you guys want to go check it out. The question is, hindsight is always 20/20, but if Kyle Dubas had one do-over, what would it be in your opinion?
I saw that on Twitter, and I saw a lot of the responses are the Kadri trade, which is a pretty good answer. I think that, you know, it's not just that they traded Kadri, it's just they didn't really get a high impact player for him, and Tyson Barrie didn't work out, and the blue line that year wasn't very good. And, you know, if they were going to trade Kadri, they really had to get a high end defenseman in that deal, and they did. And that cost them that season to some extent with, you know, to take it in another direction, I think one of the mistakes that I think probably hurt them was keeping Mike Babcock around longer than they did. I think they could have let him go in that one off season, and then it wouldn't have sort of sewered that first 23 games of the next season. I think that's something that in hindsight, not a lot of people were saying that at the time, but in hindsight, I think that's something that they could have done differently.
Yeah, and there was a lot of discussion about that kind of after another collapse in the playoffs. It was, should we let this guy go? And they didn't. They brought him in, and then it just never really, nothing happened. They didn't progress like they hoped what they would, and then eventually ended up canning him almost 2 years ago to the date. But we were saying, like, on the flip side, where everyone's talking about some of Dubas's bad trades or signings, I mean, one of the best ones to me was bringing in Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford for Trevor Moore and 2 third-round picks. Can you even think of anything that may even compare to that, or is that Dubas's best piece of work as the GM of the Maple Leafs?
Oh, well, I mean, Jack Campbell's a Vezina candidate right now,
right?
So, you know, like, that's his best move for sure, and I think probably number two would be the trade that he made for Jake Muzzin, who's been, you know, you can argue their best defenseman since they've acquired him. So, you know, those two trades really put the Leafs in a good spot. You know, we'll see what happens with Jack Campbell the rest of the way and if they can get him re-signed. But if he ends up being their starting goalie and playing as well as he has so far this season for another few years, that trade is going to go down as not just one of Kyle Dubas' best trades, but one of the best Leafs trades ever.
The Muzzin trade always looked good, and then the beginning of the season kind of took everyone by surprise. when he came out a little bit shaky. What have you made of the Muzzin-Hall pairing since Hall returned to the lineup a couple of weeks ago?
They're still finding their way. You know, Justin Hall has really struggled, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. You know, when they protected him in the expansion draft, I thought it was understandable given what was happening with defensemen around the league, where you were seeing third pair guys get huge deals on term. It looked like it was going to be really difficult to replace him. But what we didn't know is that Justin Hall was going to struggle to start this season, and we didn't know that Timothy Logren and Rasmus Sandin were going to come out and play as well as they have. So, you know, I couldn't have predicted that the Leafs would be looking around at early November at potentially trading Justin Hall or Travis Dermott and feeling like their young guys are ready to step up and play in the top six for the rest of the season. But that's the way that it's played out. And, you know, the thing with Jake Muzzin, though, is he's been so good for so long. You go back to right when he first broke into the NHL with the Kings, and he was just, you know, he played with Drew Doughty, played big minutes, helped them win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, his first 2 years in Toronto were both, I would say, fantastic. I feel like he's going to get it together. Justin Hall has less of a track record, and I think if you're a Leafs fan, you have to be a little bit more worried about him.
In conversation with James Myrtle of The Athletic, Leafs at the quarter mark of the season this week through 20 games and currently sitting second in the Atlantic. They got the third-ranked PK, seventh-ranked power play. They've won 11 of 13. James, what's impressed you most about the Leafs' turnaround in this last stretch of games here?
I could say Jack Campbell again, but I'll go in a different direction, so I'm not repeating myself. I think the thing that stands out the most is what's happened. You just highlighted it there. What's happened with their special teams? You know, the Leafs have, as long as I've covered the team, this is my 14th year covering the Leafs, they've never had a really, really great power play combined with a really great penalty kill, and it looks like they might potentially do that this year. And it's not the sexiest thing to talk about. It's not the, you know, the most exciting thing, but, you know, changing the assistant coaches, getting Spencer Carberry and Dean Chenault in here, and they're working on the power play and the penalty kill. I mean, through 20 games, they've both been fantastic, and that's a huge equalizer for them. If you look back over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years at why the Tampa Bay Lightning have been so much better than the Leafs in the regular season, Tampa Bay has been a dominant team on the power play and the penalty kill, and the Leafs have not. So if Toronto can figure that out, that's one of those things that can make them go from being one of those teams in that kind of like 6th to 10th best team in the NHL to potentially pushing up into the top 5, and it looks like they have the makings of doing that this year.
Yeah, it's interesting to compare last season to this season. After 20 games last season, they were 14-2-2. After 20 this year, they're 13-6-1. And you wrote about this a little bit last week for The Athletic. But where do you stand on this? Do you think the Leafs are better or worse than last season? And it's funny because we have a segment called Better or Worse.
I think right now I would say they're around the same as they were last year. I mean, people forget because of the way that last year ended. They had a great regular season. I mean, they really dominated that Canada division. And, you know, there was a lot of talk at the time that it wasn't a very good division, and that's why the Leafs were winning. And you look this year, Edmonton's having a great year. Calgary's having a great year. Winnipeg's got a good team. There are good teams in Canada, and the Leafs were the class of that group during the regular season last year. And, you know, really what happened was it's not that the Leafs were a bad team last year. It's that they were a good team, and they fell flat when it mattered the most in those three games against Montreal. So, you know, I think that they're still as talented as they were last year. Some of the tactical things that they're doing on the power play and the penalty kill seem to be working better, and Jack Campbell is going to play more games than he did last year. So you combine those things together, and there's the potential for them to be better. But it's too early in the season for me to start saying that.
In conversation with James Myrtle of The Athletic, Austin Matthews hasn't quite got off to the start production-wise that he wanted. We know that, you know, we've talked about it all day. We had Travis Yost on earlier talking about the lack of scoring at 5-on-5, just 2 goals so far this season. I'm almost curious to see if you think that perhaps a lack of consistency when it comes to the left wing position on that top role may have something to do with it, or if you think that maybe they need to have an upgrade there. Like, what do you believe there's anything to do with the fact that they don't have a solidified guy to go with that duo that could be leading to this lack of success?
It could be. I mean, just look what Zach Hyman's doing in Edmonton, right? I mean, it was going to be a downgrade no matter who they put there. And, you know, I think that this is a long ways off, but when they get close to the trade deadline and they have got some cap space to work on and they think about what they need to add to this team to upgrade, I think it's going to be that left wing spot. You know, depending on what happens with Muzzin and Hall and the defense and how they play the next couple months. But that's the real need, is that they need another forward that can play in the top 6. And, You know, I think when Ilya Mikheyev gets back, they're probably going to give him an addition in the top six. Probably not a fit with Matthews and Marner, but, you know, to play devil's advocate, though, I mean, if you got Matthews making almost $12 million a year and Marner's making almost $11 million, those two guys should be able to play with almost anyone and elevate them, even if it's a Michael Bunting that's making $950K. So, you know, I think what we're seeing with Austin Matthews more than who his line mate is that having that off-season surgery and missing training camp, and it set him back more than I think anyone expected, including himself. You know, he hasn't really looked 100% like himself. He hasn't handled the puck. He hasn't shot the puck the way that we saw last year when he was just dominating. And, you know, we've seen flashes of it lately, but I think it's just going to take him a little bit here to get back to the kind of player that we know that he could be.
James, really appreciate you joining us, and enjoy the sun out in California. Enjoy the road trip, pal.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. I know you hate it every time I say that, so now I purposely say it.
But it's almost like he's riding his pony down the beach since he's in California.
Exactly, the Segway down in Malibu Beach. His little riding a Segway through the sand.